Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT. Has Markelle Fultz's return had an inverse effect on the 76ers? And in LeBron James's recent comments, we discuss whether he will be the only person to vote for himself this MVP. And the basketball gods seem to be completely against Isaiah Thomas. We'll be discussing whether it's karma or just dumb luck. We've got the staples of the show in JB Team of the Week and Rookie Watch coming to you, as well as a BuzzFeed-inspired off-topic. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to Just Ball Things. With me today, again, in the sunny Melbourne, we have Jack Emanuel sitting right next to me. This is a treat again for you guys. How are you, Jack?
Happy Easter, folks.
Happy Easter, indeed.
It is the resurrection of some people's lords.
Some people's lords, yes.
It's technically ours. I guess we went to a Catholic school, so we should be praising the resurrection of Jesus. Also, Goku did come back from the dead many a times, thanks to the Dragon Balls. But we celebrate his occasions enough by watching Dragon Ball Z on numerous occasions. Apparently, Dragon Ball Super ended recently. Vinny was telling me.
I'm waiting for the what's it called?
The movie? The video game?
The thing. The English dub with all the, like, the American music and
the Dragon Ball Super. Yeah, it's in English, man. It's come out
with the American music though, because like it's English and
I watched the start of it and then I just stopped for some reason. So Dragon Ball Super's back. We're now an anime podcast, by the way, if you hadn't realized yet, guys. We always bring out weird, wacky influences with us. We might even do some weird, wacky stuff in DBS this week. But should we get actually? Hey, that was pretty short and sharp for an intro. Nothing too bancy, nothing too stupid.
But the people still don't know who I am.
What's your name?
My name is Nick Busink.
See, we got, like, no one knew my name first. Now no one knows my name.
I mean,
you need to introduce yourself with me. Let's try that next week. You know, I'm Nick Busink, and with me, there you go. I've got you, mate. I've just revolutionized our podcast for many
episodes. How will I weave in my random fact?
Do you have a random fact?
I don't.
Okay, so I've just saved. Give me a random fact off the top of your head. Here we go. You know, spontaneous. This is literally unscripted, live radio. Like, what are we doing? What do you got for me? Something random.
I ate a dust mite yesterday.
When we were on the hike? What's a dust?
Okay, there you go. I climbed 101 stories yesterday on that hike.
101? I thought you said
101 stories.
I thought it was 95.
It went up.
When you were in the car on the way back from Dalesford.
Yeah, I was waving my Fitbit around on the ride home, so it sort of padded the stats a little bit.
Kudos to us. Kudos to Jason Pham, Andrew Busick, Nick's brother, Vin Stadiaris, Luke Magri leading the way as the leader with those blue shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Very solid trek from the lads, 2 hours. Rewarded ourselves. It was a nice bonding experience for us boys.
Indeed it was. It was great. Yeah, it's down at Dalesford, so that was brilliant. But mate, you want to start with some NBA talk?
Yes, we'd like to talk about that because it's the theme of our podcast.
That's it.
For the most part.
That's yet to be...
Mostly.
Mostly. That's yet to be decided. All right, but mate, we have a email.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll get to that one first. Do you want to? I mean, it was a pretty long winded. It was a fairly long email. To be fair, I don't think this listener was particularly happy with our
assessment.
On Brad Stevens' Coach of the Year candidacy. I think we dismissed it, and I think fairly so. I listened back to the podcast.
Nicky boy, I like it.
I think we did dismiss it a little bit too much.
I think we did.
Quickly.
Yeah, I did it. I did as well. And I think the past week has probably shown us that we are wrong. And we will happily admit we're wrong because we are so frequently wrong that we have no qualms with admitting it.
Exactly.
I feel like our entire, like, the fact that we came up with the podcast and people still listen to us, like, you guys are just troopers for listening to all our wrong takes. We're That's not right. Stephen A. Smith and, like, professing that we are right and we are the lords of basketball. We're two stupid Aussies who are talking into a mic in Altona Meadows right now.
That's right.
But thank you so much to our second super fan. We had Farhad. We now have Edward Pankowski, out in America, out in UConn. So we're getting some fans all around the world, Nicky boy.
This is brilliant. Yeah.
We're doing a podcast in Australia. Yeah, we've got emails from Qatar and now from America, Connecticut. This is awesome. But yeah, we'll address his email. So he's a passionate Celtics fan, as there are many out there. A very long-winded email, but long-winded and detailed in a way that
he knows what he's talking about.
Definitely.
I mean, like, pulling out stats. And
we should probably have him on as a guest.
Right?
Edward, if you want to email us back, mate, we'll get you on next week. We do Google Hangouts. I was in London, mate. We can get you on for a segment or two if you want. But yeah, he asked us because we obviously both favoured Dwayne Casey is the coach of the year. In the past week, I think Brad Stevens' coach of the year favoritism is probably increasing with the wins that they've had in the absence of Kyrie Irving. They had a nice win today again against the Toronto Raptors. And they've had a really good week. And, you know, I think Hal Horford's come back. Marcus Morris has come back as well in that win. So Brad Stevens is certainly solidifying himself. Funnily enough, though, when he was asked the question by reporters, does he think he's the coach of the year? He's like, I don't even care about that. There are 29 other great coaches. So take that what you will, Edward. But we will discuss what he asked us. So basically he asked us this. If you took DeMar DeRozan, Lowry, or both off the team, how far could their bench remaining starters carry them? Obviously, this is in reference to the fact that Kyrie Irving has been injured. Gordon Hayward was injured at the start of the season. So how would, say, Dwayne Casey be able to deal with the injuries to two of his stars, one or two of his stars? So with that, we thought we'd, you know, look to, you know, on-off numbers, you know, some statistics. We need to get the numbers. We need to get the numbers going. We need to get the stats men in us going. But we also need to give off shitty hot takes that we are known for as well.
All right. So are we putting this in the Busick Manuel scale, or are we sort of just...
Nah, emails could do in separate emails, segment, mate. All right, we're doing theme music in the future for these guys. Next week, you're going to join the top two in JBT Superfans if you email us.
That's right.
Podium. Who's going to be number three?
Exactly. You'll become JBT...
Elite.
Hall of Fame. Yeah, that's it.
Goats.
JBT Hoff.
Well, we could all, and then if, like, we get five emails, we can do it like an all NBA JBT.
Ooh.
And then, like, second all team until we get three. Until we get 15 emails,
from 15 different people.
But, Nick, what are your thoughts on this? How would the Raptors and Casey manage if, hypothetically, they were to be able without their stars?
I mean, it works so well for the Raptors, given the personnel that they have in Lowry and DeRozan. A lot of this is... come about because Lowry has taken on, as has been, I guess, grown up enough to take on that lesser role.
Yeah.
And DeMar has, you know, that individual coaching of that player has, like, flourished. I mean, he seems to have added something to his game.
He's in the NBA conversation.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I mean, he was there last year. He did a bit of a Giannis where he started crazy hot. His usage was through the roof, averaging 35 points a game. But you take those two out. Granted, their bench unit is the best in the NBA. It is the best in the NBA. How do they fare up into the playoffs? This is the... And we're not really going to know that until we see it. And we're going to see it soon enough. But, I mean, to take... It's so hard to hypothesize.
As a scientist, and you should know that word.
And just predict. Predict what would happen if you take these two players off the team without it actually happening.
Yeah, see, I'll give a take in the sense that I think their bench is so good that they could be able to deal with it. Like, if we're dealing with what we have now, the best bench in the NBA, the highest net rating off the bench, they are the best bench. Simple as that. Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, Jakob Poeltl, all these guys, you know, and to a lesser extent, Norman Powell and Delonte Wright, These guys are all proven guys. And funnily enough, looking at on-off numbers, Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet has a higher on-off offensive rating than Kyle Lowry. He's been absolutely outstanding this season. Absolute revelation, similar to like an Isaiah Thomas, like in taken with like the last pick. He's been simply sensational. And, you know, he's been part of some really clutch units as well. So I think the emergence of him would help. Or it's sort of, if you're comparing to Kyrie Irving, I guess, in Edwards' case, if you're comparing it to, say, where like a Gordon Hayward, so you take up, say, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry was sort of the leader of this team last year. So I think taking up DeMar DeRozan now, it'd certainly be heavy, and it'd leave a huge gaping hole in their offense. And I think that they certainly would struggle. I certainly think that they'd still probably have the potential to push for a top four seed. I don't think that it necessarily would be. I still think Dwayne Casey would be around that conversation because of how it's not just how he's gotten, like you mentioned, more out of these DeMar DeRozan, but the team offensive system as a whole. And that's what Brad Stevens is known for as well, just his coaching system. And that's partly why, obviously, when we were we listened to and had a read of Edwards' email, we took it into context. But yeah, it's hard to obviously hypothesize, but in the sense that I think obviously Brad Stevens has done a masterful job, and if he isn't first in them coach of the year candidacy, I think he'll certainly be second. Mm. So, but yeah, it's hard to sort of predict it.
Brad Stevens is in such a niche class, I guess, because we actually see how he's managed to manage these players with the star out, with Kyrie Irving out, with, you know, rattle off the list,
Marcus Smart, exactly, Daniel Tice.
But I think what makes Dwayne Casey's, because this is all this question about how
it's a comparison,
how they would be without without their star players is a direct comparison to how Celtics have done without theirs. Celtics have done a lot to be only two games behind the Raptors at
the
moment.
They still win the number one.
Exactly.
Seed.
I mean that win phenomenal. Today was pivotal.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Yeah.
But there's been more, and it's weird to say this about Raptors. There's been more emphasis on the coaching styles of Dwayne Casey. It's that complete change that he made.
Yeah.
Whereas Stevens just ran the course.
Yeah, and continued it.
And that we see that in everything. LeBron James has been the best player in the league for the past 15 years.
Yeah,
for every season. But he's not won 15 MVPs.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing. Pop.
Yeah.
Another great example. Not this year, but for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
At least four years.
Yeah.
You could argue
20 years.
When you average greatness, you underappreciate.
Judged by those standards.
Judged by those standards.
And
exactly.
I think that's a really good point, Nick. And I think I mentioned that in my email back to Edward, in the fact that narrative has a huge say in all of these awards. And in the sense that the narrative surrounding Dwayne Casey, that he was under the hot seat, there was talks that he could be fired. Even Kevin Durant on his podcast episode with Bill Simmons mentioned the fact that the Toronto Raptors, he mentioned the coaching staff at the All-Star weekend, how impressed he was, and how in the sense that he knew that they were under the hot seat going into the season. So it's certainly a question that we would be happy to delve into further, Edward, but we have to get to some other Music Manuel stuff. Thank you so much for the email. Remember, guys, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. Me and Nick are checking them on a daily basis.
That's it. You can hit us up on Twitter as well, @jbtnick and @thejmanjbt. You can send us through questions there as well. Anything, really. It doesn't even have to be NBA related. We do have an off topic.
We can talk about anything.
If you want to tell us what our favorite ice cream is, I could talk about that for hours. You loser. Chocolate? Are you joking? Okay. There are a million flavors and you just go for one of the Neapolitan ones. We're not talking about chocolate. We're not talking about ice cream, mate. But you're wrong. You are wrong. And even Trump thinks you're wrong.
Wrong. Yes, of course he does. I feel like I hear more of...
Trump is on my side because I control the soundboard.
You leftist. Rightist? I don't know what it is. I always get confused.
He's just not even on the scale, mate.
He's not even on the Busey Manuel scale.
He's not on the Busey Manuel scale.
Alternative fact, someone is on it.
Speaking of which, Busey Manuel scale time. This is a JBT-created scale that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We sum it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, straight-up fact. Over the past few weeks, it's turned into, Twicky, Twalternative.
You've been talking about me in the car about making Twalternative. I'm like... Fair enough. Look, we it's our scale. We can do whatever the heck we want with it.
It's becoming you guys can hate more us, and more confusing.
You listen to us, so.
It's becoming more and more confusing as the time goes on. Anyway, first one here, mate. Markelle Fultz should not have come back this season.
Wow. Why, Nick?
I don't know. You wrote it, mate.
All right. Now, this is pure... Obviously, Markelle Fultz is back this week. Great story. He played some nice games. But in oddly, horrifically ironic, poetic justice, his shoulder, the one that was said to be needed transforming and, you know, all this amount of media, all this amount of rehabilitation, has injured their star player in Joel Embiid in the fact that he has... a bit of an orbital fracture. He had a concussion. He was tweeting at Rihanna today.
Oh, I know, right? He's got a lot of free
he's
time
back.
On his hand now.
He's back. He's on the meds. Joel Embiid is a wonder to this league, and I can't wait to see him in a face mask. But the reason why I said that he shouldn't have come back is because he injured their star, and he could have cost them their season and their playoff hopes. So I'm going with Twitter fact, because if you take out Markelle Fultz, it doesn't happen.
So, I know, but how you can't
okay, I'll
predict
go, I'll go on Twitter then. Like,
no, you can't do that. God damn it, Jack.
But per sources, Zach Lowe, Adrian Wojnarowski, it said to be a 2 to 4 week injury. Derek Rose apparently had a similar injury and came back with a face mark. I think it was 2015 per Sean Hyken on Twitter. Yeah, he had this injury in the first day of Bulls training camp in 2015, and he played in their final preseason game. So it is only a couple of week injury. And of course, Joel Embiid's going to be out there. You know that he's going to...
Oh, yeah.
The narrative is going to be awesome surrounding him, like when he's back, whether it's in that first game or the second game. It's going to be exciting times to see Joel Embiid in the face mask and tweeting and Instagramming. It's going to be awesome, but...
He was probably going to call himself Batman with the fate. He'll come up with something.
I mean, if Rihanna hasn't already left her fiance, by the way, Joel Embiid, I believe she does have a fiance.
Is she engaged?
I'm pretty sure. Oh. Some like saddy billionaire handsome dude. But
you don't mess with Joel.
It's not Joel
Embiid. It's not Joel Embiid. Yeah, exactly.
That guy clearly doesn't trust the process. But per Micah Adams, the Sixers net rating with Simmons on the floor without Embiid. So in March, this is a positive. So they are plus 7.2 with Embiid off the floor with just Simmons. Now, that might be due to the fact that they've had a very soft schedule lately, and also that Simmons has been
absolutely insane.
Yeah, he's been rapping off triple-doubles, hint-hint, rookie watch, like there's no tomorrow. And I think he's got 11 for the season now. He's absolutely balling out. So I think there's some comfort in that. But also, you know, in lesser times, in December, you know, they were negative 8.9 in his absence. They have, I think, the best, if not the second best, five-man combination in terms of net rating with their starting lineup. I think it's like Dario Saric, JJ Redick, Robert Covington, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid have like a plus 22.5 or something like that. It's something ridiculous. Obviously, take Joel Embiid out of that. It's huge because he's so impactful. But, in relation to Markelle Fultz, it's obviously just a throwaway, but Joel Embiid, prayers up for him.
It's always sort of what if.
Yeah.
There's a lot of what if he doesn't come back? What if he doesn't
trust the process, Nick?
Yeah, exactly.
Process.
That's what I mean. You gotta trust the process. He came back for a reason. Joel got hurt for a reason. Trust the process.
Yeah.
Even he tweeted, he's just like, trust the process. You know, I mean, every day he does that, but
he wakes up. Trust the process.
He wakes up trusting the...
I'm surprised that he doesn't have a tattoo that says hashtag trust the process.
Oh, I mean, it's inevitable.
It's definitely
inevitable. If he wins the title out of it, oh boy. But yeah, I'm giving this alternative fact. You can't predict injuries. It was great to see Markelle Fultz back. His shot is... I mean, I don't know what was happening. Like, if that rehabilitation works...
Yeah.
I mean, sign me up for it. Like, I'll shoot weird for the next 6 months, and then if I end up like a great player out of it, I'm happy.
Yeah, that's good.
It's strange, but yeah, no. It's
before we move on though, Nick, Kevin O'Connor per the Ringer, since February 6th with Embiid and Simmons on the floor, they have a plus 24.4 net rating. When Simmons is on without Embiid, it's plus 1.4, which is still good. Obviously, you know, in the absence, guys like Saric, obviously Fultz. they're going to have to step up. But, you know, we pray for the Sixers. They've got a nice run leading into the rest of the season. They could even snag that third spot from the Cleveland Cavaliers because they've got such a soft schedule.
It's in play. Brett Brown for Coach of the Year. Sorry, Brad Stevens.
Ooh, hot take, Nicky boy. I love this podcast. I love when you come up with that shit. But speaking of the Cavs, LeBron James early in the week. LeBron James is the only person who would vote for him in this season's MVP chase. He said he was asked by reporters who would he vote for. He said himself. Is anyone else going to vote for him, Nick?
I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, I think I mentioned this last week, and I've been saying it all year. How has this sort of transpired, how Harden has run away with the MVP?
Yeah.
Like,
narrative, bro.
It is, right? Like, he missed out last year. He's obviously a million times better than Westbrook this season.
Yeah.
I thought he was better than Westbrook last season, but that is another debate. And so that difference there is just like, oh, well, yeah, of course. I mean, maybe we made a mistake last season. I'm just trying to speculate what's going through people's heads.
Yep.
And then they see him do stuff like this. I mean, it seems like he puts up 50-point games at just the right moment. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, okay.
That's 60-point triple-double.
Yeah, exactly. He's doing those things.
Yep.
You know? He bloody absolutely cooked Wesley Johnson, Wesley Matthews.
It's Wesley Johnson.
One of the Wesleys.
Yeah. There's a few Wesleys out there.
Surprising.
Wesley Matthews.
I don't know any Wesleys in my life other than famous ones.
Yes. Wesley Snipes.
Yes.
Blade Runner.
Yeah, that's it.
Not Blade. Blade.
No, Blade. Blade.
Blade Runner. Ryan Gosling. Harrison Ford.
Yes. Thank you, Jack. God damn it, I lost my train of thought. And he did. He absolutely cooked someone recently as well.
Yeah, I didn't see that one, but yeah, he's putting up highlights
was
at
it
the right
Quinn?
Time. I believe so. If,
I can't remember.
You're probably
anyway,
right.
It was. It's just like little highlights like that are just going to win him the MVP.
But LeBron James is putting. I mean, you could argue for the same fact. You know, those these dunks on Nurkic.
His
on the Brooklyn,
month every, this month has just been insane
on everyone.
I'm
going to
get those stats up.
I was on the Players Watch podcast with Evan Dial on the OTG Network, and they had him as their player of the week last week. I had LaMarcus Aldridge, but LeBron James was second for me. You know, he was having, I think it was like 33.5 points. You know, it was a 30-point triple-double nearly. I'm pretty sure this season he's averaging like 27, 9, and 9, and that those are paltry numbers for him, and we're taking that for granted that it is really hard to put up 27, 9, and 9. And like, it's really hard to like just have that much impact on the basketball court and in ways that are like, you know, for unheard of for a guy in his 15th season. And, you know, this might be one of LeBron James' best seasons ever. I think it's probably his second best season ever, which is, you know, suffice to say when you're 33 years old. But, you know, I personally think that, you know, consistency over the entire season and wins. I think, I can't remember who it was that was mentioning the fact that the MVP, oh, it was Howard Beck on Zach Lowe's podcast was saying that the conversation in MVP last year could have changed the narrative in the sense that now you can vote for whoever you want. It used to be, you know, wins, you were one, if you were one of the top two seeds and you were the best player on one of those top two teams, you know, 50 wins or above, then you generally get the MVP. You know, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, that generally wins you the MVP. Russell Westbrook's last year, has that changed everything? Does that mean this year we can vote for guys like Anthony Davis? Does that mean we can vote for Damian Lillard this year? I personally don't think that, like, there's any rules to it. I think you just vote for who you instinctively
just,
vote
yeah,
for.
Vote for you. Do you, bro.
You do you, bro. You do you. That's life lessons here from JBT. You do you. I mean, we'll get tattoos of that shit. But yeah, I think LeBron James is a close second in mine. I posted my top five on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. It hasn't really changed. But you know, there's still a few games left, and who knows if LeBron James averages a triple double over that period, James Harden rests a couple of games, you know, it could be fresh in voters' heads. I don't think James Harden's going to be unanimous MVP, which we've mentioned before, but I think he still has it sewed up. I think
he does though. But like, he's got it sewed up from this narrative.
Yeah, he does.
Like if you. Like I'm leaning towards LeBron James. I love LeBron James. I love James Harden too. Don't get me wrong. I've got both their jerseys. but you think of, I mean, I've got his stats up here. He's averaging 31 points this month. He's almost averaging a triple-double. 9.6 rebounds, 9.5 assists.
0.5 and 0.4 off.
Yeah, I know.
Averaging a 31-point triple-double. That's like Russell Westbrook last year numbers, but more impactful. I guess you could probably argue because, you know, Russell Westbrook still had a 47-win team last year. And Russell Westbrook's almost averaging a triple-double this year, and he's all, like, probably sixth in the MVP conversation, if that.
Yeah. The only thing that really kills LeBron is turnovers. But, I mean, he had that like, 30-odd point game last week with 17 assists and no turnovers.
Yeah. Those sort of games just, like, it's...
They stick with you.
Yeah, I mean... The NBA media needs to give us an accreditation because we'll stir some things up in there. We might vote for. I'm going to vote for Joe Harris for MVP. Everyone knows my for
left
who,
wing.
who listens to the OTG and Brooklyn Buzz knows of my irrational love for Joe Harris. But Nick, guys that might have been, you know, maybe in the MVP conversation from the Timberwolves might have been Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler's been out lately, and Tom Thibodeau hasn't learned his lesson at all because Coach Tibbs has learned nothing from criticism earlier in the season in relation to easing the minutes load on his starters. I believe we had this as abusing Manuel, like episode 5 or 6
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, I mean, when it was becoming a problem early in the season.
And then Jimmy Butler got injured.
We're just like, dude, you are playing your stars some serious minutes.
Now, it helped Karl Anthony Towns get his career-high numbers, but I would also credit Ben Simmons, Simmons Savage 25, for that as well. But Jeff Teague himself said this, and this is via The Ringer and just the media in general. Like I said, from day one, guys get tired. I think the bench need opportunities. Hopefully Tibbs sees the day that they hopefully sees that they can really play and help and gives them an opportunity. If you have your starting point guard saying that, I think Coach Tibbs needs to go, okay, this is 2018 now. This isn't 2013. I know it's like only 5 years ago. But you can't do the same thing that you were doing with your 2012-13 Bulls that you're doing with the Minnesota. Give Tyus Jones some minutes. Jamal Crawford's been really good in areas. Now, obviously, he's not you're going to be a be-all and end-all. Nemanja Bjelica has been better for them as well. So, like, these are guys...
He can put people in headlocks, too. I mean, like, he can...
True that. Yeah. And nice headlocks, like, safe headlocks.
Safe headlocks. Yeah, exactly.
We only advocate safe headlocks.
Don't get you suspensions.
Safe headlocks here at JBT. But, Nick, what are your thoughts on this? Is Coach Thibodeau, you know, is he learning at all? Or is he just one of those guys, stubborn old dudes that's just like, I'm going to do what I do, you listen to me, rah, rah, rah.
Spot on. Just stubborn old dudes. I can't even remember the abusing Manuel scale. Has learnt nothing from criticism. Hashtag fact.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's proven now. Like, there's science and things that I don't understand.
Yes.
Magnets and such.
What's your favorite hobby?
Yeah. Magnets is science.
I mean, magnets.
Don't know what it has to do with basketball. There's is there any metal on, like, the rims?
Well, there's iron in all of us.
So you're saying we are magnets?
We are. In a sense.
All right, so
this just turned very...
I feel like I'm going
to... went from science to, like, philosophy.
Philosophy very quickly. Yeah, we are clearly going to be calling the episode We Are Magnets.
But no, like, he has not learned... I mean, like we said, there's stuff proven that you ease your players into a playoff series. And they've got a serviceable bench, like we said.
Yeah.
Like we've said, the Tyus Jones, Jamal Crawford, Bjelica are all very serviceable guys.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of trust as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's brought in...
Taj Gibson.
He's brought in, yeah, Taj Gibson and Jimmy Butler from a team that he trusted and did fairly well with.
Yeah.
I mean, what more is there to say? I mean...
I think what more to say is, like, he's also in his... He needs to know that, like, Karl Anthony Towns is the guy as well. That's a discussion for another day. But I think, you know, Jimmy Butler's going to help, hopefully, his return in the coming days. Like John Wall for your... I'm sorry, I couldn't get the music band weld in today for you, Nicky boy. But he's back with a new hairstyle. Hopefully, the Timberwolves do similar. But, Nick, the basketball gods do not like Isaiah Thomas. Why don't they like him, Nick?
Because he's an absolute mong.
Okay. No, he got injured. So Isaiah Thomas, his hip. We all know the hip that was bothering him. Following
you'll realize when I start speaking, like why it made it continue.
Okay,
continue.
Sure. He's having surgery on his hip, and the one that's been troubling him even since obviously that Cleveland Cavaliers trade happened. So you know he's out for the rest of the season. He's out for, you know, possibly another 3 to 5 months. Mm-hmm. Nothing has gotten right for him this season. He's had a couple of decent games. He's been a nice mentor out in LA. But there are talks that, you know, the Lakers might bring him back. I don't think Isaiah Thomas is going to be getting any big fat paychecks that he's been wanting anytime soon. I think listening to the Dunked On podcast, his highest contract that he's got across his career is a 4-year, $28 million deal. For a guy that was in the MVP conversation, that's paltry. That's chump change.
And he's not there anymore, though.
He's
and
not.
And I don't think he'll ever be back there.
No, I agree. And a 29-year-old, short, aging, you know, a guy that uses his tenacity to get to the rim. You know,
It's tenacity.
Yeah, tenacity is a good one. Maybe that's the name for the podcast. Tenacity magnets. Magnet tenacity. But, yeah, I think Cable Hoops, Corey Waldron on the OTG pod, the outlet mentioned, you know, he can count on his hands the amount of times that he's gotten to the rim this season before the injury. You know, he's been... I think he's just not the same guy anymore.
No.
Health is horrible. You know, we look at a guy like Derrick Rose as well. But the basketball gods do not like Isaiah Thomas. It's an absolute fact. The basketball gods can be cruel sometimes, and they have been with IT here.
It's an absolute fact as well. I mean, going back to my Mong statement.
Yes, Mong.
Mong. Podcast name.
You've got three names here.
You've got three names.
It's going to be confusing for you.
Yeah, I know. He did himself a huge disservice at the Cavs. One signing there, which obviously you can't see that, and that's kind of out of his control as well. He got traded there.
Yeah.
But what was completely in his control was how he approached that situation. He ruined himself at the Cleveland Cavaliers. His performances weren't up to scratch. Placing blame where blame wasn't to be placed by you. You know?
Right, you are
not the number one guy. He needed to acknowledge that, step back.
We said this.
We've talked about Isaiah Thomas on this podcast before, on this show. He's dug himself a hole by saying all those things at Cleveland. At Cleveland, he gets a trade to the Lakers, and then he comes out and says, "I don't want to be the number two to Lonzo." It's like, well, too bad, mate. You are.
Yeah.
Get your head out of your ass.
Yeah.
And actually do your job. And I don't wish injury upon anyone.
No.
I mean, it sucks.
Not at all.
He's been having injuries. He's been having problems with his hips. From the end of his Celtics tenure.
Yeah.
Even before then. Which is really unfortunate for someone, exactly like you said, who came fourth in the MVP, who was absolutely king of the fourth. You know, he was absolutely killer. And I've mentioned it before, he broke my heart by destroying the Wizards in that...
those that don't know, of which I'm sure everyone who has listened to this podcast more than once, and now if you're a first-time listener, you've finally realized what Nick's all about, but...
Maybe it's a personal vendetta that I don't like Isaiah Thomas.
That's why you called him a Hmong, probably.
He hasn't helped himself. He's not going to get this money. Like, it sucks that he got injured, but he wasn't getting this money even if he wasn't injured anyway.
Yeah, I think that we talked about the fact that he needs to change his mentality.
I mean, I've lost a lot of respect for him as a player, just on how he's carried himself over this past year.
I think it's a cautionary tale as well. I mean, we said we wouldn't speak about Kawhi Leonard on last week's pod, and we're not really going to touch on him because obviously nothing's really changed. And in fact, if anything, he's apparently going back to New York. So I think Isaiah's tale is a somewhat cautionary tale of playing through injury in the sense that, you know, you could jeopardize your long-term future. So I think Kawhi is obviously thinking about himself. Yeah. Yes, he's been cleared to play, but no one knows their body better than the individual themselves. Mm. So we'll go by what Kawhi's saying. And, you know, all the best to Isaiah. I hope he gets like a nice mid-level deal of some sort. Maybe they sign him to the mid-level exception or something like that. Maybe on a big one-year deal, similar to like a KCP. Who knows what happens with him. But
could be a good lesson for Tibbs as well.
Don't
overwork your players.
True that. True that indeed, Nicholas. Nice little inter-segue, that one. I don't know if intersegue is a word, but Nick, this is one I've had on the dock for a couple of weeks, and it's via the Starters. They talked about it a few weeks ago. Jabari Parker won't be on the Bucks next season. Now, Nick, why has this come out?
Well, it's been reported that previously in trade deadlines that he's been like on a knife's edge for being
kid
traded.
Hated him.
Yes.
Hated him.
And it's, I mean, from the Bucks' point of view, it kind of makes sense. Like, he's, was it number three pick?
Number two.
Number two pick?
Yeah. Constant, it was Wiggins and him.
Constant injuries.
Two ACLs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which has hindered his growth drastically. Whether he gets traded, I mean, it's very possible. But what do you get?
I don't think he gets traded because he's an unrestricted free agent.
Okay,
like,
so he'll just
like
get
Aaron Gordon, like those guys from that draft class.
But even so, like even if you were to trade him, if when they could
sign and trade, yeah, maybe.
Like what could you have gotten for him? I can't imagine a lot of players taking that risk. Mm. I mean, no one wanted to take a risk on Derrick Rose. Obviously, yeah. Different situation, mental health in there as well.
Yeah.
But teams don't want banged up guys.
No. I think that there's Jabari Parker isn't going to be in the Bucks next season, partly due to the fact of his fit with Giannis. I think that the Bucks need a bit of a revamp to their entire system, whether that comes through coaching, whether that comes through a player overhaul. I think Jabari is going to be looking for somewhat of a payday. I think before the season, during his rehabilitation, the Bucks offered him somewhere in the lines of like a 3-year, $50 million deal. Don't quote me on that, $55 million. Quite serviceable, and I think if I was Jabari, I would have taken that, because in today's NBA, I think security, you know, you look at what Lou Williams took, 4-year, $32 million deal, security is everything.
I mean, yeah, well, that's right, especially for someone in his situation, you need a contract, add any contract.
Yeah, but at the same time, these guys are always going to bet on themselves. We've got Isaiah Thomas as well.
Guys, you don't reach the professional level without having that sort
of
mentality.
Not at all, but I think that I'm going to give this a wiki because I'm not 100% certain on the or a whacked. That's the first ever time I've done that. Cool. It's been like 50 episodes and somehow I'm still finding new stupid ways to ruin this podcast. But I think it's certainly a strong possibility. I'm not necessarily set on it. Like, he could go to Chicago, but we look at teams that have space. You look at like a Phoenix Suns, Orlando, Chicago Bulls, the Nets. Those are all teams that could acquire his services, but I don't think it makes him dramatically better in a sense. Like, I put a poll on my Twitter during the Aaron Gordon, when we were versing the Orlando Magic, because there were rumors going around that we wanted to get Aaron Gordon as well. So I put a poll up, Aaron Gordon or Jabari Parker. It was quite one of my more popular polls. Got a bit of traction on Nets Twitter. And Aaron Gordon was the overwhelming favorite. And with good reason, like, because he's had a great season. He has defensive upside of some sorts. His athleticism. He has a lack of injury history. He's had minor injuries. But, you know, two ACLs, minus zero ACLs.
Well, that's right. It's just the health.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to put it on a clean slate and you would say Aaron Gordon or Jabari Parker, I'm taking Jabari Parker. Like, the upside of Jabari Parker is fantastic, but
great offensively.
It's not going to reach that upside. It can't.
He's pretty trash defensively. That's being nice.
Tell us what you really think.
That's almost being nice to him as well. Like, in a switch, like assist, I don't see how he fits. If the Bulls were to get him, imagine pairing Zach LaVine defensively alongside Jabari Parker. It'd just be, I mean, it'd be all sorts. But definitely watch this space. I don't think we'll be seeing Jabari Parker in Milwaukee for the long term. And in my opinion, what do you actually give me on your? You haven't told me on your scale what you got for this.
Just given the sort of history, I know that kid's gone, but I don't think that from an organizational point of view, he
whacked. Give me a whacked as well.
I'll go a whacked.
Yeah, double whacked.
I'll stick
whacked.
I'll stick with Jack there. Yeah, I mean, it's unlikely to see him in Milwaukee. But where do you think he would go? Who would pick him up? Who could use an injured person? Just dead weight. Who needs dead weight in the NBA?
Look, if he's an unrestricted free agent, Nick, and you dictate his rights, you dictate his contract. You know, you get team options in there rather than player options. I think there's, like I mentioned a couple of teams. I mentioned the Nets. I don't think the Nets are going to break the bank for him. I think the Nets organizationally are going in a different direction.
If we can get him for cheap, I wouldn't mind him on the Wizards. I mean, take a flyer if we can get him for
cheap.
Yeah, because we've already got three guys on max.
Yeah, definitely. So
like,
I think in terms of, you know, you look at the contractually, if that works. I think the Suns, you know, they need like an offensive guy to sort of pair.
And if there's anyone to take a flyer on a player, it'd be the Suns, because if it doesn't work
out,
then who cares?
And I think the Chicago Bulls could be an option as well. Just looking at teams that have some sort of semblance of space in terms of their contract situation. There's certainly not going to be a lot of suitors for a guy like Jabari Parker. But a guy who's going to have to need some suitors is going to be Hassan Whiteside. And this is, I literally put this on one on today because my Nets were absolutely outstanding in their win over the Miami Heat.
Bang, bang.
I was yelling. I scared my mother and father. I was scared of a heart attack. They should. It's like being in the room with Charlie watching an Everton game. You don't sit near me when the Nets are in a close game. But speaking of player movement, Hassan Whiteside won't be wearing a Heat jersey next season, Nick. Now, I say this to you because he told reporters, and I quote, "Man, it's annoying, you know. Why are we matching up? We got one of the best centers in the league. Why are we matching up? A lot of teams don't have a good center. It's bullshit. It's really bullshit, man. There's a lot of teams that could use a center." Obviously, he's referring to himself there. He's doing a lot of third person. It's like he's the Rock, Hassan Whiteside. But for the record, I watched this game in near full. Jared Allen, a rookie, was better offensively and probably defensively than Hassan Whiteside. The only time Hassan Whiteside was getting buckets was when Allen was off the floor. And by the end of it, when the Nets decided to play some small ball, that's when they actually got the lead back and rendered Whiteside useless defensively and offensively for that matter, because, you know, he's a horrible perimeter defender. Mm. His lack of agility of any sort to be able to switch and ability to switch on the floor. So I get Eric Spoelstra in this, but Nick, is he going to be a Heat player for very long?
I think he'll stay on the Heat.
Yeah?
Like, I think he will. I'm going to give this one a wiki. Is that the opposite? I always forget the actual thing.
What does it say, Nicholas?
All right. So, he won't be. So, I'm giving this a Twitter.
So, it's the opposite,
of what I was thinking. Yeah, okay. All right. So, I'm going to give this a Twitter fact. I think he'll stay. He's still a great center.
In the modern NBA, though?
Yes. Players like Rudy Gobert still...
Andre Drummond is better than him now. Like, Andre Drummond
That's true, but how old's Hassan Whiteside?
How old's Andre Drummond? Well,
they're both young.
Hassan Whiteside hasn't shown any real growth in his game and any real impetus to want to grow. Whereas Andre Drummond has shown a dedication to his game to evolve. You know, he may not be like a three-point shooter. He's been so dedicated to his free throw shooting. Mm. His passing game has made him a threat. I think if you are a one-dimensional center in today's NBA, you are borderline unplayable. Hence why he didn't get any minutes. He played like probably 10, 15 minutes. I didn't look at the box score.
He played 19 today. 14.
I think he'd be lucky to get, you know, 18 of those. Because, you know, there were times out there where he was unplayable, like I mentioned. And, you know, this is, I think, one thing that you mentioned about the fact that he could be staying. I think the one thing that might make other teams wary is his contract situation. So this is what Keith Smith at Keith Smith NBA said on Twitter. After his rant following tonight's game, it is important to note that Hassan Whiteside is owed $25.4 million for next year and has a $27 million player option for 2019-2020. That's over $52 million in the next two seasons.
I didn't realize the contract situation. If I was the Heat, I'd be wanting to
get rid of that.
Yeah, try to offload that, but it depends. Like, they're going to have to get rid of an asset. And what assets did Miami have?
Josh Richardson.
Josh Richardson. Like,
Kelly Olynyk.
There you go. He's very serviceable.
Dwayne Wade.
Like, they've got a lot of... they're a great team.
Yeah.
But they've got no sort of...
superstar.
Yeah, exactly. Or even just, like, rising sort of dude.
Justice Winslow to an extent. Okay, I think would probably be their best asset.
Like, coming into this season, I would have said that Hassan Whiteside is their best asset. Best asset.
But he
best player.
Yeah.
Just from what he did last season, I mean, we're expecting growth out of
there. I'd say he's probably fifth best player now, if that, right now.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
I could name Goran Dragic is better. Obviously, he's an all-star. Yep. Josh Richardson's better. I would say James Johnson's better. I would say... Kelly Olynyk's better.
Dwayne...
I wouldn't say Dwayne Wade's better. You could argue Tyler Johnson's better, but you know, I'd argue that Bam Adebayo has been better than Hassan Whiteside.
Well,
season.
that came out. There was, I think, we did a Busey Manuel earlier in the year saying that Bam should be starting over Hassan. Hassan took a few, I think he might have been injured or he was just sitting, and Bam was starting, and the Heat were flying.
Yeah.
They were amazing. Whether he fits in a modern NBA sense, I think he's still serviceable. I mean, guys still can pack
impact.
Yeah, he can still impact on a paint level.
Yeah, so, the interior level.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's still amazing at blocking, and I still think he can be quite serviceable.
Yeah, I think you make decent points, Nick. I'm going to give this. It's hard because you give it Twitter. I'm going to go Wiki just to change the scale.
Well,
it's a little bit.
I mean, I think I want to change mine to Wiki because of the contract situation. They want to get rid of that. Whether they can,
that's why. That's why I'm like almost. I could easily lean back to Twitter, like you said originally. It's going to be interesting to see what team values him as well.
And
everyone can use the center like you mentioned, but his skill set, you know what they want. It certainly remains to be seen. We're going to go to a break. We didn't go to a break last week. Or are we going to go straight to JB Team?
Mate, I think we can go straight to JB Team.
Oh!
JB Team of the Week. Yes, welcome to JB Team of the Week. This is where we recognise the players that have been outstanding in their position for the week just gone. At the point guard position, we've got Damian Lillard. He had an emphatic performance in the Blazers' hard-fought win over the Pels. Video game Dame racked up 41 points, 20 in the fourth quarter. 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals. Impressive steal count there. Yet another sensational game from the All-Star guard. At the shooting guard position, in a 118-99 blowout of the Hawks, none other than James Harden finished with 18 points. 6 of 15 shooting, 1 of 7 from 3, 5 of 5 from the free throw line. Not a great three shooting performance, but 15 assists and 10 rebounds as well. Yeah. So yeah. He can cook on every single level. 2 steals as well. That's his 4th triple-double of the season in only 30 minutes of playing. So, well-deserved there.
Not bad.
Mate, take the front court.
LeBron James. Again.
Again. It's ridiculous.
Guys, if you have arguments about it, jbtpodcast@gmail.com, you can at me at the JMNJBT, but he's just too good. Had a lazy 37 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal on only 3 hours sleep in the Cavs win over my boys and Nets. I mean, I can't remember the last time I did anything off 3 hours sleep.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
He's putting up 37-point triple-doubles nearly. He also had another crazy performance against the Hornets. 41 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists.
His month of March has just been insane.
Yeah, I think he also broke the record for most games over 10 points, 867 the other week.
Yeah, he passed Jordan.
MJ, so yeah. Breaking records left, right, and center at the King, as he always does. Power forward position, Giannis Antetokounmpo was instrumental in the Bucks win over the Warriors, an important game in solidifying and improving their spot in the standings out east. The Greek Freak racked up 32 points, 14 of 18 from the field. Wow. 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. And of course, at the center position, as we hinted at earlier, with Karl-Anthony Towns pouring in 56 points for Minnesota in a win over the Atlanta Hawks, Mo Williams' reign as the Timberwolves' single-game scoring king came to an end on Wednesday. Bang. With a dominant effort that also included 15 rebounds, 4 assists in 41 minutes, Towns almost single-handedly dispatched the Hawks.
I think he's got some record about the most double-doubles. Like consecutive double-doubles or something.
I think we mentioned that in his previous appearance. Like, he's been... His consistency in terms of being able to, like, get 20-10 games and 10-10 games is just otherworldly. But
yeah, he's just been brilliant.
Let's recognize those rookies in Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella!
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yes, for those of you who are new, this is where we award 1, 2, or 3 votes to the rookies based on their weekly performances. Taking out the one vote, despite losing to the Pistons, Lonzo Ball put up a near triple-double in one of his best performances of the season. 15 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals. People are really quick to crap on Lonzo Ball, but he's had a low-key...
I'm pretty sure we were.
But he's had a pretty decent. I mean, you got to remember he's a rookie. He's had a pretty decent season.
Expect the unexpected, rookie.
Exactly. Taking out the 2 points, Kyle Kuzma. And I think it's because he's been in Kuzma's shadow a little bit. It was great against the Bucks in a narrow loss that he had 27 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. Doing everything the Kuz. Mate, you hinted at it previously.
I did. B. Simmons, Big Ben, with 13 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists against the Hawks, has 5 triple-doubles in his last 10 games. He's certainly solidifying the Sixers in the absence of Joel Embiid. The Rookie of the Year candidate did not play after leaving with 3 minutes and 37 left in the third. So he got a triple-double in less than 3 quarters of playing time. This guy is just so
freaking
good.
I saw a stat today that was like amount of games it's taken Ben Simmons to 10 triple-doubles, like 72.
Yeah,
the amount of games it took LeBron James to the same amount of triple-doubles is like 370-something.
The young king, the young prince, as they said.
Yeah, he's just amazing. He's so dynamic for the Sixers. But let's go to the ever-loved off-topic.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Yes. Welcome to Off Topic. This week's Off Topic was a bit of a spur of the moment thing. Slightly spontaneous,
to say the least.
It's brilliant. We are going to do some BuzzFeed quizzes.
We'll yeah, buddy.
In as many as we can.
We are the basic.
We've done this before, and it's just been so much fun. So we're gonna chuck quizzes at each other. So do you want me to do you first, or do you want to do me first?
Nick, I'll do you in any way you want me to do you, big boy. But yeah, you can do me.
All right.
What do you got for me?
Okay.
Yes.
These 9 questions will reveal which minor character you are from The Office.
Love The Office.
Great TV show it is.
Team Jim all
and
day.
And so we're talking minor characters like, yeah, I don't think like Pam and stuff will be in it.
No,
they're pretty major.
Dwight.
It'll be like
Stanley.
What's his name? Stanley.
Yeah.
Creed.
Yeah.
Toby, the guy that everyone hates.
Please don't let me do Toby. Let's do it.
All right. Which couples are the absolute worst? Yeah. So you got Angela and Andy, Aaron and Gabe, Michael and Jan, Dwight and Esther. Michael and Jan was pretty cringe.
They were horrible. I didn't like Angela and Andy.
But Angela's just crap herself.
And because it was always Dwight and Angela for me. So I'm going Angela and Andy, mate. Give me Angela and Andy.
All right, Angela and Andy. Done. Yeah. How would you blow off work?
Yeah, well, how am I doing it, mate?
Dance at a disco cafe.
Oh, yeah, I like to boogie.
Compete in an office Olympics.
That'd be fun.
Take a nap.
Like Stanley.
Who's Stanley's face? Take a nap or hang out at Hay Place.
Ooh, I love me some hay. Hey, what's going on?
Do you like a nap, though? I mean, I remember distinctly
like a
having
nap.
A nap with you. It was cute. We spooned.
We've
shared naps.
There is photographic evidence of that on Instagram, I believe. But yeah, give me a nap.
You'll take a nap?
I used to nap as well before I watched ball games out in London so I could stay up late.
Bang, there you go.
Yeah, give me a nice cheeky nap.
All right, which Dwight Schrute quote is the best?
Let us know yours, guys, as well.
You couldn't handle my undivided attention. Why are all these people here? Oh. There are too many people on this earth. We need a new plague.
That's it, right there.
You don't even need to hear the rest
of it. Just click it, but say the other ones.
There is a lake. There's no road here. Identity theft is not a joke, Jim. Millions of families suffer every year.
False. Black bear is the best bear.
That's debatable.
That is one of the best Jim fucking.
That's one of the best
quotes.
Like when Jim becomes like Asian Jim.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
It's like, this is Jim. The picture of the Asian.
What a show.
It's brilliant.
It's so good.
Anyway, all right, pick your favorite Christmas episode. You'd have to have a pretty
in-depth
working
knowledge.
Yeah, okay.
It's
well,
been
Moroccan
a while since
Christmas,
I watched.
Classy Christmas, Christmas party, or Dwight's Christmas.
Just give me Dwight's Christmas.
Yeah, that's
a bit of
a straight. All right. Which of Dwight's weapons would you utilize? Throwing stars?
Oh yeah.
Pepper spray?
Yep.
A sword or a blowgun?
Give me them throwing stars, baby.
Bang.
Wah! For those that don't know, Nick's neck is now
personally
chopped
off. Personally, I would have you know the little ankle knife he pulls out and then he destroys the CPR?
Yeah.
That's a brilliant starting.
Well. I guess that's like a sword of sorts.
A hunting knife.
Yes.
All right, so which moment made... Oh, so many moments made me cry.
Oh, man, I am bawled my eyes out at this show.
The finale absolutely killed me. That one. All right. So, which moment made you cry? Pam and Jim finding out they're having a baby.
Cute af.
That was amazing. Dwight's proposal to Angela.
Very cute af.
When Michael was the only one who went to Pam's art show.
Michael is an underrated goat.
And the one that I would pick that killed me. Michael surprises Dwight at his wedding.
It's done. It's done. Put it there. Nick, I have goosebumps right now when you said that. It's so good.
That final episode absolutely destroyed me.
All about the love.
Pick the best Michael character. Michael Club with his fat suit. Prison Mike in his bandana.
Yeah.
Date Mike or Michael Scott?
Yeah, give me Prison Mike.
Mike. That
bandana.
I would have gone Michael Scott.
All about that bandana.
Secret
baby.
Agent. All right. Which Dundee, the awards the awards show,
give me any
would
of
you
them.
Want to win? Bushiest Beaver Tight Ass Award, Promising Assistant Manager Award, Best Mum Award.
Give me the Bushiest Beaver, Nick.
Oh, yeah.
You know I got my Bushy Beaver.
Classic. And pick an iconic song moment. Lazy Scranton. What? 9,986,000 minutes?
I do not remember that.
I don't remember that either. The Scar and Dance or the commercial song.
The commercial song is really good.
You got Bandit the Cat.
So apparently I'm a pussy. I like it, Nicky.
You got one of Edge. That is as minor could be.
I mean,
I didn't think they'd go that
I'm
minor.
I'm the most minor part of this podcast as well, so give it to me.
You got Bandit the Cat. All right.
Now, Nick, I've got a few for you, so it's going to be tough to pick this one, so I'm going to go very, very quickly through it. We've got the Disney characters you choose will reveal which fictional Disneyland you should live in. You're a big Disney fan?
I am a big Disney fan.
All right. Choose a character from The Lion King. Simba, Nala, Scar, Mufasa, Pumbaa, Timon.
Pumbaa.
All about Pumbaa.
Big classic.
They call him Mr. Pig. you are Pumbaa. So many ways. You are Pumbaa. Choose a character from A Bug's Life. Underrated. Princess Atta, Filk, Hemlich, Slim, Francis, and Dot. Gotta be Heimlich.
I guess. Yeah.
Heimlich is the Pumbaa of A Bug's Life.
Exactly, that's right.
A character from The Incredibles, we've got Jack-Jack, which is me, obviously. Mr. Incredible, Elastigirl, Dash, Violet, and...
I always love Dash.
Giving you
I
Dash,
like the man. Speed, yeah.
Yeah, all about the speed.
I mean, I'm very quick.
Oh, you are a quick man. You're quick on that hike, and you're quick in the sack. Choose a character from Cars, Lightning McQueen, Sally, Doc... Mater, Luigi.
Anyone but Mater. Luigi. Look, go Luigi. He was actually funny.
You are part Italian.
Exactly.
Choose a character from Monsters, Inc.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo. Just
Mike Wazowski.
I don't even have to listen to the rest.
Mike Wazowski. Choose a character from Snow White, The Seven Dwarves, Snow White, Dopey, Sleepy, Bashful, Grumpy, Sneezy. You're a bit dopey.
I can be dopey. Yeah, you can answer this quiz on my
you're,
behalf.
You're a dopey mofo. And give me some Finding Nemo action. Nemo, Marlon, Dory.
Dory. Yeah. Is there Bruce there? Is Bruce there?
Yeah, because you're an Aussie. That's the poorest.
Squirt's pretty good. Right. Like the little baby turtle.
All right.
Yeah, we'll go
Squirt. Squirtle. Choose a character from Peter Pan. Peter, Wendy, Tinkerbell. Captain Hook, Mr. Smee. I'm a fan of all the Lost Boys.
Mr. Smee. I love Peter Pan. One of the best.
Have you seen Moana?
I actually haven't seen Moana.
I'm going to give you Maui because it's The Rock.
Oh, it's The Rock, yeah.
Yeah. And Aladdin, one of your favourites, saw the play out in London
Town. The Genie. Is that an option?
Yes, of course it is.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Of course it is, Nicholas. Of course it is. And 101 Dalmatians, you got Pongo, Perdita, Cruella de Vil, Roger, Anita, and all the Dalmatian puppets. You're Cruella, mate. You are a... Your Cruella.
All right. I'll cop that.
Character from Up.
We actually discussed this yesterday.
We did.
Someone actually said that I would make a great
cosplay Russell. You would be a perfect Russell. You're Russell.
A cosplay Russell. So I guess we're doing that.
Be Doug. I just love Doug. So point. Choose a character from... Zootopia's underrated. Mm-hmm. Zootopia's awesome. Judy, Nick, Officer Clawhauser, Chief...
Nick. I mean, come on. It's my name.
Oh, yeah. You said it at the start of the podcast. Yeah, that's your name. I always forget it. Choose a character from Beauty and the Beast, Belle, Beast, Le Fou, Mrs. Potts, Cogsworth, and Lumiere.
I'll go Belle, just because Emma
sexy?
Watson.
And you sexy?
I am.
You sexy. And of course, Toy Story, I'm always Woody. Me and Maggers, we're Woody and Buzz, but you're a bit of a potato head. You're Ham.
No, I like Ham.
And your brother would funny. Be Andy as well.
Ham's actually T-Rex. What's the voice actor's name? I can't remember, but he's great.
The voice actor for
Rex is great.
You got Arendelle. Which one's Arendelle? Is that what? Okay, Nick, do the spiel, and then I'll look up where Arendelle is.
All right, beautiful. So I'm Arendelle somehow.
And I'm
I don't know where that is. And you are a cat. That was the worst Buzzfeed.
Good podcast. We'll be back next. Oh, you're the Frozen.
Ah, right.
I haven't seen Frozen either.
It's like one of the most popular. Anyway, all right. That just about does it for another week. So we'd just like to say thank you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Block Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcast. Do us a solid, leave us a rating and review. Helps us out heaps. As we mentioned before, you can contact us, the J-Man JBT, or at JBT Nick on Twitter. And you can also hit up OTG Basketball, where you can read some awesome NBA articles written by the one and only Jack Manuel and heaps of other writers, heaps of other contributors there. We've got Facebook, so search Just Ball Things, you'll find us there. You can hit us up on email, and we'll read the emails on the show. Case in point, Edward Farhad.
Yes!
JBT Podcast at gmail.com. Remember, it's you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars. Come on.